This week, Mike, can you turn me down just a hair? Last week we learned the definition of freedom was the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. And I said this and I gave the definition because we as Americans have this conception that we are free, we are totally free. We can do what we want, when we want, how we want, with whoever we want, and nobody can say a word to us. Y'all seen the news? I think people have taken that freedom just a little too far, don't you? Now, we learned that we may have a semblance of freedom in America, but we do not have true and real freedom. We learned that if we go to a police station and we run our mouths to the police officer, we will get arrested, right? And you may get hit in the mouth. You probably should get both. This is not true freedom. We learned that if we go to a restaurant and we decide, well, I'm just not going to pay, you're going to jail. And this, too, is not true freedom. We learned that if we don't pay our taxes, and I'd like to do that one year, wouldn't you? Can I take a poll here this morning? Is there anybody who just this year, 2017, I don't want to pay my taxes this year? Raise your hand. Y'all don't get that on record. Everybody, raise your hand. Some of y'all didn't. How many of y'all want to pay your taxes in 2017? Miss Desi, look at her. She's raising her hand. Yeah, I know. Just one year, Miss Desi, come on. But if you don't pay your taxes like all good Americans do, here again, you will go to jail. Not only that, you won't be able to vote. You won't be able to carry a gun. You won't be able to do this. You won't be able to get a hunting license. In Georgia, that'd kill a man right there, wouldn't it? No hunting and fishing license? Yeah, hey, I'll pay my taxes. We also learned that with the knowledge of Jesus, we understand the truth, and the truth sets us free. And we're totally free. It helps us to understand that when we go to the police station, we need to keep our mouths shut. We need to pay for our food, and Miss Desi, we need to pay our taxes. As much as it hurts us, we've got to pay those taxes. Church, we learned that with Jesus, we will have some freedom here on this earth and others don't. But this morning, I want to tell you where we're going to experience complete and total freedom. Now listen, that's the freedom I desire. Isn't it the freedom that you desire? Now, we have people who believe that we are totally free. We have people who have fought for our freedom, who have died for our freedom, who are still fighting for our freedom. And church, honestly and truly, we're not free. The freedom that I'm talking about this morning can only be experienced in one place. One place. So let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 1. John 14, 1. Jesus said, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself." Listen to that again. Listen to this. It says, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. You know the way of where I am going." "Lord," Thomas said, we don't know where you're going. "How can we know the way?" And Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, y'all underline that and say it to yourselves 100 times, no one comes to the Father except through me." Now, you know, the media and the world has this misconception that there are many ways to God. Listen, there is only one way to God, and that's through the Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Well, Brother Kyle, that's your opinion. No, that's a scriptural truth. If you deny this one scriptural truth, you might as well close your Bible, put your Bible up on a shelf, and prepare yourself for coming tribulation in years to come. It's going to come. Jesus is not a way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning asking forgiveness for our sins, asking you to forgive us where we fail you. Lord, during this time that I have to open your word, Lord, I pray that you would just wake us this morning. If we're a little bit sleepy, I pray that you would just wake us up, jar us, God, I pray that you would still our hearts, still our minds. Help us, Lord, that we won't be running around or getting up. Lord, help us to concentrate fully on what it is that you'd have us to hear this morning, that we might be better Christians when we walk through this door. Lord, we know the world has enough halfway Christians or quarter Christians or 1% Christians. Lord, help us this morning to receive this message, that we might be sold out Christians for you. There's a reason why we should. Help us to find that reason this morning. In Jesus' name I do pray, and all God's children said, amen. I had my eyes closed. Look at all the sneezing. God bless you. God bless you. Now, why did Jesus tell his disciples that their hearts should not be troubled? Why did Jesus tell his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled? Let me ask this. Has there ever been a time in your life where your heart was troubled? That you were experiencing something that you never thought you'd ever have to go through? That your children or your grandchildren are going through a time of trial? And listen, you never thought that they would go through the trial that they were going through? Is there something in your life, financially, are you not where you thought you would be when you set out on the path of the world? Why is your heart troubled? Now, Jesus made this comment. He didn't ask them why their heart was troubled. Jesus just plain out and came out. He knew their heart was troubled, and he told them, let not your heart be troubled. Well, how in the world that we live in, how can we not let our heart be troubled? Well, let's look at how he said it and what he said to his disciples. He says, because he knew their hearts were troubled. Church, you can't experience freedom when your heart is troubled. You cannot experience freedom when your heart is troubled. Jesus has told them in chapter 12 that he was going to be crucified. And then he washed their feet in preparation for the coming service. I did a foot washing at the beach yesterday. I did. Or Friday. Didn't I, Courtney? Courtney came up there and I had the water hose and I washed her feet. Her mama came by and I washed her feet. Raylan came by and washed her feet. I didn't bend down and get the crud between their toes, but I washed their feet. So Jesus had just done a foot washing with his disciples in preparation for his going home. Jesus had given them a new commandment to love their God with all of their hearts, with all of their mind, with all of their strengths, and their neighbors as themselves. And listen, you know who their neighbors were? The Samaritans. Jews didn't love Samaritans. Jews hated Samaritans. You're telling me I have to love Samaritans? Yep, sure enough. And by such love, the world will know that you belong to him. They were troubled. How in the world can all this be? You're telling us that you're going to die. You know, Peter stood up and says, no, not you, Lord, not you. And he said, get behind me, who? Satan. Exactly right. He had told them that he was going to die. How could they not be troubled? They followed this man around for almost 3 years, this man named Jesus who claimed to be the Messiah. Some at this point believe, some it's Scripture. Scripture teaches us that we don't know whether they were true believers or not. And Scripture tells us personally that there was at least one who was not saved, and his name was Judas. That's exactly right. That's my Wednesday night crowd. I'm proud of y'all. Listen. Their hearts were troubled. Jesus told the disciples to not be troubled because he knew that when we experience and display fear, we're not trusting and putting our total faith in him. And church, that is sin. Do you realize fear is sin? Courtney, fear is sin. The girl wouldn't get in the water at the beach. She was afraid of sharks. And she only got in this deep, y'all. Well, there's sharks there too. Yeah, I know. But listen, God didn't make us to be fearful, did he? They're everywhere. Do you know there's sharks outside the water too? They'll shoot you and run you down. Y'all watch the Savannah News? You're just as dead. You really are. Listen, when you sin, you are not free. So when you have fear in your heart, any type of fear, you're sinning. You know who I learned that from? Well, I learned it from the Bible. You know who I really learned it from? That woman, that pretty woman sitting on the front row. I'll be sitting around minding my own business. Steve, and she'll say, well, let's do so-and-so. I said, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. She said, are you scared? Well, no, I'm not scared. She said, you know, fear's a sin. She has to bring Jesus into it, Steve.
Hey, listen, fear cripples us. And he was telling his disciples, listen, don't be fearful. Don't be afraid of what is going to happen. Now, how do we calm our fears? Jesus said, you believe in God, also believe in me. Do you not know that every fear you have and ever will have, every fear you will ever have, can and will be conquered by one thing? And that's Jesus. I've experienced this from a small child. I was scared to death. Trey, I was scared to death of the dark when I was a kid. Trey, that was funny. No, listen. You weren't scared of the dark, Trey? Never afraid of the dark. Only thing you're afraid of is Maggie, right? I hear you. Smart man. Smart man. But I was afraid of the dark. I did not like the dark. Every Christmas, every Easter, my birthday, it didn't matter what. Hey, listen, my mom always gave me a flashlight. Always. To this day, I know where a flashlight is in my house just in case the power goes out. I know where the lighters are. We got candles strategically placed all over the place because we've had crazy storms going through the town here lately. But listen, I was afraid of the dark. But there were times when my dad would come home and it was just getting dark outside and it was raining. And he'd say, son, did you bail the boat? That was one of my jobs. Back in the old times, we didn't have a bilge pump on the boat. This was the bilge pump. That's right here. Right here. And that my dad, y'all call me cheap. My dad was cheap. He didn't have one of those things, Stanley, where you throw in the hole and you plug it onto your battery until I was about 18. Sucked the water. So I'd have to go out there and bail the water. Now, from a small child, when the rain would fall and hit the tin on the back part of the porch, Griffin, and it would fall in such a way on the bushes, in my mind, it was skeletons digging my grave. I was scared to death. Angie, listen, what's that face for? I'm serious. I was scared to death. So Dad would come home and he'd say, son, did you bail the boats? And you can only lie so much when it's raining. Well, you need to go bail the boats again. Because we did have them sink. So, no, I'd have to walk out there in the rain. And Ryan, as soon as I opened that door, I could hear them skeletons digging my grave. I could hear it. And y'all know what I did. The back porch was about from here to Courtney's mailbox. And I didn't, I didn't carry a umbrella like this right here. I ran like I was Jesse Owens in the Olympics, y'all. I hit that dock, and I slid all the way down to the bottom, and I was in the boat. Boat was a safe place. I don't know why, but it was a safe place. And I'd bail that boat like I was going to die if I didn't get all that water out of there. And I was back up in the house. I'd run back to the house. Why? I was scared. I was scared. Do you know there's Christians that are just as scared today? We have a fear. And I don't know what your fear is, but can I tell you how to get rid of that fear? There's only one way, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the only person who can get rid of any fear that you have in this world. Jesus is the only person who can subside that fear, and Jesus is the only person you can go to take care of that fear. You see, something put that fear. A lot of people's fears that they have, they're natural fears. They're there for a reason. Only Jesus can take that fear away. Courtney, Jesus is the only person who can take that fear of sharks away. She told me, she said, if I feel a shark, I can walk on water just like Jesus did. And I believe she meant that too, y'all. I really do. I do. Now, Jesus tells us where real freedom is and how we can get that freedom in verses 2 and 3. Look at verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3 says this, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. Some of yours might say many mansions. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. You might be saying right about now, Brother Kyle, I didn't hear anything about freedom in those verses. Where do you come up with that? You come up with some of the craziest things, Brother Kyle. Where did you come up with that? Church, wherever Jesus is right now, listen to me, wherever Jesus is right now, there is freedom. There is total freedom. Do you understand that when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, I was given the promise of a coming freedom, But I must wait for true freedom, that freedom comes when Jesus comes for me. Now let's prove it. I have a semblance of freedom, and Jesus has given me freedom. I'm not going to go run my mouth at the police station. You know why? Because Jesus gave me the truth. The truth will set me free. I'm smart enough not to do that. Okay? Now, there's some people, nope. You see them on Cops every week. Right? They try to run from the police. And then the police catch them. Why'd you run from me? Because you were chasing me. I mean, they don't have that freedom, do they? Just shut your mouth. Just get in the back of the car. But listen, I can prove to you about this freedom. Listen, I'm free from sin, but church, I still have to pay my way through this world. So do you. When I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, Scripture says that I am free from sin. Free. One of my favorite words, right? I am free from sin, but I still have to pay my way through the world. I've got sitting on my desk in there, I've got my electric bill and my water bill. That still is strange to me. I've lived in a lot of places, y'all, but I've never had a water bill that you pay every other month. Never. And here lately, it's every 3 or 4 months. And back last year, I paid it once every 6 months. That's crazy. That makes me fearful. But I've got these bills sitting on my desk. I've got to pay them. If I don't pay them, TC's coming to my house. He's going to cut my water off. Yeah. I figured I'd get a hallelujah or something from him. See, I'm free from sin, but I still have to pay my way through the world. I would love to write something on that electric bill and say, you can eat this bill. I'm not paying it. But listen to me, church. If they come by and they cut my electricity off today or tomorrow or the next day or next week, Brother Kyle's paying for a hotel room because Amy is not staying in a house that does not have air conditioning in the middle of this heat. She is not. Nope, it ain't happening. She'll try to last it out for about 10, 15 minutes. She says, all right, let's go. We don't do the heat thing. We don't do the melting thing. I can give you another instance. Listen, I have a home waiting for me in heaven. Aren't you glad of that? Listen, I have a home waiting for me in heaven. Gary, but listen here. I still have to pay my mortgage here on this earth. Could you imagine me this next month? SunTrust Mortgage sends me my statement, and it says, "Dear Mr. Waddell, you have to pay so and so." You know, so that's okay. I get it. And I, when the day comes, Steve, I'm gonna call them. I'm gonna say, "Yes, I need to speak to a representative of SunTrust Mortgage." Yes, my name is Anthony Kyle Waddell Sr. My Social Security number is, I'm not going to tell y'all my Social Security number. Look, I saw some of y'all doing this right here. And my house is at 212 Chartwell Drive, Greer, South Carolina. Yeah, listen, I'm not going to pay my bill this month because I've got a home waiting for me in heaven. Excuse me, sir? Yeah, I've got some renters in there, and y'all just, I'm not paying it anymore. I've got a home waiting for me in heaven. They're going to take my house, y'all. Right? I have a home waiting for me in heaven, but I still have to pay my mortgage here on this earth. Listen, I have no electric bill in heaven. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But I still have to pay the one here on this earth. Today, I will pay for every meal I eat, unless my wife decides she's going to pay for it. But in heaven, I will feast on the bread of life. Listen. At no charge, Brother Frank. We've got to pay for everything here on this earth. Is that freedom? You pay for everything. I'll never forget, I watched a kids' movie years ago, and this little boy, he decided he was going to be an entrepreneur, and he wasn't but 7 or 8 years old, okay? And he decided he was going to make him some money. He wanted some jack. He didn't want to rely on anybody. So he came up with this idea. He went to the stables, and he started shoveling manure, because nobody wants to do that, right? Anybody want to sign up for that job? No. So he would shovel the manure. He would somehow make fertilizer out of it, and he would sell it to people to use as fertilizer on their lawns and the golf courses, okay? He was making bank and loving it. Brother Kyle was sitting here as a child. I was taking notes. Fertilizer, horse manure. I'll do this. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Until they got to the point where the boy got in trouble. Right? Did y'all ever see this movie? Y'all didn't see it? It's a good movie. I can't tell you what it's called. He got a summons to show up in court. Right? So he's not paying taxes on the money he's making. So he listens there, and he thought, you know, he's going to get himself in trouble. He's in, you know, big-time trouble. His lawyer was not smart. He couldn't figure out a defense to defend this little boy. And finally, he figures out his defense. So he fires his lawyer, and he defends himself. This is what he told the judge. He said, Judge, he said, all those horses are owned by people. Yes, sir. Did they pay the taxes on the horses? Yes, sir. All the horses are fed by the people that own them. Did they pay taxes when they yes, sir, they did. The building that these horses are housed in, do they pay taxes? They pay property taxes? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He went down this long list, and at the end of the question, he asked this. He says, why is it that we're taxing this horse at both ends? That's pretty good defense, isn't it? Kidco, is that what it's called? Y'all know he still had to pay those taxes? The same food was coming out that was going in, but he had to pay taxes on both ends. Listen to me, church. Today, I will eat every meal, and I'll have to pay for everything. And so will you. It's not freedom. It's not freedom. Church, you may think that you're getting something for nothing here on this earth, but I promise you that someone is paying. When you get home, and that's heaven. If you call yourself a Christian, heaven is home. It's not around the corner. It's not up the street. It's not down the way. Heaven is home. When you get home, there will be no more money. Praise God. There's some times where I get my check and I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus, I got my check today. I'm woo. And there's some times when I go to the bank, I can't stand to see money. I hate it. But in heaven, when we go home, there's no more money. There's no more classes of people. There's no more rich and there's no more poor. Do you realize that, listen, this is what I want you to get. Do you realize that we are heirs of Christ? That means that we are a child of the King. Somehow in translation, from the time that we accept Christ as our personal Savior until the day, as days move on, we lose sight of that. Somehow, some way, and that heirship, that's where you're going to get your freedom from. Being a child of the King is what's going to get you all that freedom. Can I tell you, listen to me, Christian, it's about time that us heirs and us children of the King start acting like the children that we are. It's time we dress like children of the King. It's time we act like children of the King. Amen? That's where freedom is. Now, church, I dream about being free and experiencing true freedom. As many of you know, right now, for some years, I've had insomnia, and I just can't sleep. I cannot shut my mind down. I've tried everything, and after this, somebody's going to say, Brother Kyle, did you try this? Did you try eating grass and blueberries? I've tried everything to shut my mind down, and I just can't do it. But sometimes I'll lay in the bed, and I'll walk through my childhood home. Any of you ever do that? I can't go there now because it'd be weird. The people probably wouldn't let me in, and my key probably doesn't work anymore. And if I went down to my bedroom and tried to go to sleep, they would arrest me. Okay? They wouldn't know who I was. But I walk through my childhood home. I walk down Bounty Lane to 1029, and I walk up the stairs to the front door, and I walk in the front hallway that I used to have to put Scott's Liquid Gold down on every week. And to the left is the kitchen. To the right is the den where we'd watch TV. And straight ahead was my favorite room. And it was about half the size of this room and had a big wood-burning stove that I'd have to load every week. I'd have to, two or three times a week, I'd have to take wood up. I go to that place in my mind. And sometimes it does help me to go to sleep. And other times it wakes me up even more. In my wildest thoughts, though, church, in my wildest thoughts, I can't imagine what home is going to be like. Home is not 1029 Bounty Lane. 10 is not 212 Chartwell Drive. Home is not 110 Junco Way. Home is in heaven. Home is when I take my last breath here, my first breath in heaven. Listen, that is home. I am only passing through. It seems like yesterday I was in kindergarten. That's why I still act like a kindergartner sometimes. I can't imagine what home is going to be like. But I know that when I get there, church, listen to me, I'm going to be free. Stanley, I'm going to be free. When I get home, I'm going to be free. Church, don't you want to be free? Don't you realize that we can only be free if we are with Jesus? That's the only way we can be free. Church, do you realize that even at its very best, we will never experience true freedom here on this earth? That we will not experience the freedom we're looking for, the one we defined as freedom can only be found in heaven. It's the only place we can find freedom. Can I tell you the sad truth about heaven? If you're not going there, there's only one other place, one other destination that you can go. If you're not going to heaven to experience the freeness that Jesus Christ offers, there's only one other place that you can go. You've got heaven, or you have hell. Well, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. I've heard people talk about purgatory. I might not go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. I'll go to purgatory. There's no such a place. Well, Brother Kyle, that's just your opinion. No, Scripture tells us that there is a heaven, there is a hell. There's no mention of a purgatory. There's not a middle ground. There's not a, I didn't quite make heaven, and I don't deserve hell, so I'll just go to purgatory. No, Scripture doesn't say that. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. Church, you may be sitting here this morning asking yourself, how do I get to this place called heaven? Jesus told us in our Scripture this morning. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says this. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Church, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to experience this freedom that I've been talking about this morning, there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Romans 10:9 says, if, that's conditional. Y'all pay attention to me. It's conditional. If you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, Scripture says, not me, not the Baptist, not the Methodist, not the Presbyterian, not the Lutheran, but Jesus said, you shall be what? You shall be saved. There's only one way, and it's through Jesus. Do you know my Jesus? Do you truly know my Jesus? Is there evidence in your life that you've accepted the same Jesus that I have? Has Jesus freed you to experience true freedom one day in heaven? I can't answer that for you. I can answer it for me. Let's all stand with head bowed and eyes closed. Father, we do come to you asking forgiveness of our sins, asking you to forgive us where we fail you. Lord, I pray that you would be with us during this time of invitation. Pray that you would deal with hearts and minds. Lord, if there be somebody here who has never accepted you as their personal Savior, I pray that the day will be the day of salvation, that they'll turn their lives to you and turn their eyes and their hearts towards you. God, if there's somebody who's kind of strayed away from you, Lord, I pray that the day will be the day they come home. Lord, home is just a breath away. It's a short distance between here and there. Lord, help us to find our way home. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come?